Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia Niro plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. It's March 2019. Can you cast your mind that back that far into a completely different world? This next band we are going to talk to on Liveline today, picture this, sold out not one, not two, not three, not four, five nights in a row in the Three Arena in Dublin. They were, like so many Irish bands, all set for world stardom in 2020. And then the pandemic came along. And I'm not just thinking of picture this, I'm thinking of Wyvern Lingo and the Pillow Queens and Saint Sisters and Dermot Kennedy and Codaline and the Coronas and DC Fontaine and Gavin, and the names go just, there was a whole, still is, a whole tranche of incredible Irish bands and musicians on the cusp of even greater things, and along came the pandemic. So it's been a difficult, difficult year. But picture this, tonight on The Late Show, in the States, the James Corden one, the Prince Harry one, Pillow Queens were on it a few weeks ago, they were brilliant. But on The Late Show tonight, picture this, will be performing from Croke Park in Dublin. Yes, Croke Park. They've played Croke Park, it was only a matter of time. But we have in studio in various parts of the world at the moment, we've Ryan Hennessy. Ryan, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
How are you keeping, man? You're all right, I'll do all the youngs of, how are you, Ryan?
I'm good. I'm not too bad.
And congratulations. We'll talk about the year that's been passed in a few minutes, but congratulations. It's a great, it was only a matter of time, but it's a great break to get tonight on US television. Jimmy is there as well. Jimmy Rainsford. Jimmy, how are you?
Very good, Joe. How are you keeping?
You in good form?
Oh, great form, yeah.
Okay, well done. By the way, I go back to 2015. This is the song that Ryan was hawking around, I think, at one stage, Kildare, and then he met Jimmy, and then he met Owen, and then he met Cliff. This is Picture This, and the song you all know.
Take my hand and we can go walking, and we can talk about whatever is on your mind.
Well, let's picture this. And we're talking on this eve of St. Patrick's Day about Irish success and creativity, the arts, acting, literature, music, obviously, and even entrepreneurship. We were talking earlier, there's a lot of people were, about the incredible Collison brothers. They're not twins, as some people say, John and Patrick from Drumineer, and their younger brother, Tom, and their mother, Lily, and their father, Dennis, and that incredible success story, and the humility they all show, that particular family, in interviews. And we were talking about Nicola Coughlan and various other actors and actresses, and Saint Sister and Wyvern Lingo. Ryan, what? Tell us about Croke Park. We'll play the single in a few minutes that you played in Croke Park. Tell us how you organised and what is the procedure for this evening? You've recorded it, obviously, because it began and it's filmed. It's an incredible video in Croke Park. Tell us about that, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you. We filmed it already. It was an amazing kind of day that we did there, because, I mean, we got the word that they wanted us on the show, on the James Corden show.
Okay.
Things are different. And then our initial thought was, we want the performance to kind of reflect the song. And the song is about how the whole world is different right now. Trying to kind of give hope in a way, because I felt like there was a lot of sad music out there, which is also needed. But we wanted to release a song with a lot of hope in it for the world. And then we wanted to do a performance that would reflect that. So we thought we'd love to do it in Croke Park in an empty stadium, because it reflects where everybody is.
Yeah. When did you film it, Ryan?
We filmed it last week because we had a deadline, obviously, to get it in time for the Corden show.
Because it was a big, and it was obviously social distancing, but it was a big, big operation. Jimmy, it's great to see a team from Kildare in Croke Park any day of the year, isn't it, Jimmy?
That's right, yeah. It's great to actually be on the pitch.
Did the four of you not at the end, Owen and Cliff and Jimmy and yourself, and Ryan, did the four of you not do a lap of honour in Croke Park with the Sam Maguire? Because you'd be the only four from Kildare ever to do it at this rate.
And we never talked about that. We should have already done that. But hopefully we'll be back to do it another time.
Jimmy, tell us about the song that you performed on the Late Late, not the real Late Late, the James Corden Late Late. The real Late Late is on tomorrow night. But tell us about the song, because it is of our time, as Ryan said. It's the lyrics are really important. Tell us about the song.
Yeah, I suppose it's a song that Ryan has actually mentioned before about how it's a love song to the world. And I think there hasn't been much music from us that have kind of expressed what's going on at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I suppose this song is the best way for us to kind of describe how we're feeling with the world. And it's we're trying to get out a positive message, you know, that it's going to come back and it's going to be okay, really. You know, we don't want to dwell on the negative of what's happening now. We wanted to give out some positivity and say, no, it's going to come back and that it's going to be okay for everybody, you know.
And as I said, March, go back nearly 2 years to the Three Arena, the Point Depot, as we all know it, those incredible five nights. You could have sold 15 nights and the astonishing stage show. And I don't know, it was part of a tour. What had you planned for 2020, Jimmy, before COVID-19 hit us?
Yeah, we had a lot of plans. You know, we had planned to play Malahide Castle in Dublin, Independent Park in Cork, and we planned to play Belsonic in Ormo Park in Belfast, and they were planned for June 2020. And it was just kind of so scary to see how quickly the world kind of turned. Basically, overnight, it was pretty much this day or so last year when it really, really, really changed. And It was frightening in a way, I suppose, because, you know, it's our lifestyle as well is to play music and our career, and to kind of have it taken away almost instantly and it still hasn't come back in a year at all, you know, was amazing it was amazing how much we take it for granted, I guess, and how much we depend on it. And I think just mentally as well, how much everyone depends on the creative arts as an outlet.
Absolutely.
And not being able to do that has been it's been tough, but you know what can you do? I think safety is the most important thing.
Ryan, come in on this, because I'm thinking, going back to the Three Arena, those five nights I was there for one of them. Picture this, we're built for stadiums. You were the show you put on that night was out of this world in terms of the setting and the lights, and the sound was astonishing. But also the performance of the four of you, you were completely at home. Ryan, you're the front man, so to speak, because you're obviously the best looking in the band. After Jimmy and Cliff and on. But Ryan, you loved that space. You loved that size of crowd. And then you were on the cusp of, it was going to be Malahide Castle, Croker would have been there. And then every international festival this side of Siberia was awaiting you. How did you manage in the last year? And how did you take the news that 2020 was gone in terms of that type of performance?
Yeah, it is a really tough one to take, because, like you said, that's the place I want to be more than anywhere, is standing on stage in front of as many people as possible. That's where I feel at home and where I come alive. And it really feeds my soul to be able to feed thousands of people's souls as well. So it is tough to kind of go from that and everything we had prepared for the year to then kind of sitting in a house by yourself. It's a really tough kind of juxtaposition, I think, mentally. So it's just kind of, in a weird way, it's the first time that we've actually been able to stop, because since we started in 2015, we've just toured nonstop. And I don't think we ever would have stopped. So we kind of, the world kind of had to stop us in our tracks a little bit. But it also is a great time to kind of reflect and get ready for the next chapter of the band. And I just, I really can't wait just to get back on a stage. I don't care how many people I'll play in someone's living room at this point. As soon as it's safe to do so, we'll be back playing for everybody.
Okay, we're talking to Ryan and Jimmy from Picture This. They're on American TV tonight. And I've seen the introduction that James Corden gives you, like gives the band. And I don't know which one of you wrote it. Jimmy, did you write it or Ryan wrote it? But it's an incredible, it's an incredible introduction, and really, really, really well deserved. But I'm thinking, and by the way, 1850-715-815 is open, and joe@rte.ie if you want to tell us who gave you such a lift in the last year, the last very, very difficult year. For many people it was music. Ryan, would you introduce Things Are Different, the song that's going to hit the States tonight with a bang?
Yes, I will. This is Things Are Different, a love song to the world.
Some of those will drift apart while others stay together.
Wonderful. Just because things are different doesn't mean anything has changed. By the way, the lad's website is brilliant. You see an incredible video as well of that piece. Jimmy, to go back to you for a sec, given that once again you're driving that incredible drum sound that's so distinctive, along with Ryan's incredible vocals. Tell us about writing that song, Jimmy.
Yeah, that song was kind of one of the last songs you've kind of written in a bunch of songs in 2020. You know, it was out of nowhere, and Ryan actually had started writing the song with Danny from The Script.
Oh, God.
And then the song kind of came to us, and obviously since we're all kind of separated and stuff, it's kind of easier now to do things over.
Well, Jimmy, tell us about, because Ryan mentioned being on in a house on his own. Give me the logistics, give me the architecture of 2020. Where were the four of you during the pandemic?
During 2020, me and Ryan were both in Dublin, but living in separate places, obviously. And you know, it's difficult to kind of be a band when you're all separated, and the two other lads went back to his high. But still we got through it, and we of course we worked it out, because nothing can stop us, you know. It's our livelihood to write music, and it's all we've always known, so we made it work, you know. Mm-hmm. No matter what, we got through it.
And Jimmy, was there ever any, because bands have broken up in the last year, lots of things have broken up in the last year because of the pandemic. Some bands have lost members, as you know. What was the hardest part of 2020, Jimmy, for the band? Did you ever doubt that you were going to be here in a year's time?
We would never break up over something like this. You know, I think nothing would stop us, and it never came to that. Of course, there's worry about not being able to play a show, you know, or not being able to play a gig, or just not do anything for the fans in general, because our fan base are the reason we're here, that we have any kind of career. So the feeling of not being able to do anything in that sense, of course, it was scary, but it never jeopardized us as a band. You know, we'll continue doing it, even if, you know, no matter what happens, really.
So there was no heebie-jeebies, Jimmy.
There was none whatsoever.
Well, I think that's incredible. That's incredible fortitude mentally. And Ryan, what was it like for you? You said you were in a house at times on your own. What was that like?
Yeah, I know. At the best of times, I like being alone anyway. I'm a bit of a loner. When you're forced to be alone, it's a lot different. I tried to use it as positively as I can, and kind of look within myself and see if I can work on myself with the time that I had. And I think that kind of benefited the songwriting as well, because I had a clarity in my mind. I think it was a really important time. And I think for anybody who's listening now, if they can kind of take the time that we have to kind of look at yourself and get to know yourself. I really got to know myself in a way. I know that might sound a bit conceited or something. But,
and how did you do it, Ryan? Did you do that through, I don't know, mindfulness, or took up a hobby, or started talking to different people? How did you do that level of reflection?
Yeah, a lot of different things. Talking to people. Luckily, I have a great friend group, and we have a great kind of network within the band. A very open dialogue within the band.
Great.
And I also started talking with, like, I guess you'd call her like a life coach, who just kind of talk through how you how you treat yourself and the narrative that you create about yourself in your own mind, which is it's very important to kind of. Because I feel like I was maybe an autopilot a little bit with my treatment of myself. Okay. So it was nice to kind of work that out. And I really think, obviously, we're in a very lucky position at the level we're at. So I really feel for everybody, of course, but I feel for any sort of bands that were kind of starting out and starting to get. That's who I really feel for. And hopefully when everything comes back around, we'll be able to give lots of Irish acts a hand up.
And what would you be doing, Ryan? One session, two sessions a week on Zoom with your life coach or whatever? What type of regularity is that?
It was kind of once every two weeks.
Okay.
You have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, brilliant.
Session, go away and kind of work on yourself. And there's lots of stuff like keeping a gratitude log, for example, where you write down every day what you're grateful for. And it's a great way of kind of keeping your mind present. In a way, not kind of looking too far into the future. But I'd advise anybody to do it. You know, keeping a gratitude log like that can really keep you grounded and present.
It sounds almost like therapy, Ryan. Therapy is good, by the way. It is good. People sometimes don't talk about it. It is generally very, very good.
It is, it is. It's very like therapy. It's really just looking within yourself and figuring out if there's any sort of parts in there that you
haven't. Where did you get that idea from, Ryan? Where did the notion of you know, talking to somebody every few weeks or every week about that stuff in life, about obviously went into personal stuff as well as career stuff. Where did the idea come from, Ryan?
It came through a friend who had been going to see the woman, the life coach, Pauline. It came from a friend because I had always felt like I needed to kind of something, because I'm very happy person, but I also felt like it's never going to be a bad thing, no matter how happy you feel, to kind of look within and see if there's anything that you can improve on. Especially I found this weird thing when people came to me looking for advice, I almost felt like I didn't have the right to give them advice because I hadn't looked into myself fully enough yet. So I wanted to do that to then be able to feel like, if this person comes to me looking for advice on anything, that I can actually give it to them. It just came through a friend who did
it. And you stuck with it. That's the main thing. People start on sessions like that, and after two or three weeks, they say, it's not for me. But you did stick with it, from what you're saying.
Yeah, that's the important part, because I know people who have tried it and only done it for a couple of weeks, but I felt like sticking with it would really benefit me, and it did. It's just made me it's put me in a much clearer headspace. And in a weird way, I thought maybe by doing it and by clearing up a lot of stuff, it might affect my songwriting negatively, because you need that sort of that sort of pain every now and again. But what it actually did was it gave me access to my mind a lot clearer. I had a lot more of a clear kind of direct accessibility into my own head, which really actually helps the songwriting process towards the end of making the album. So I'm very grateful that I did it, and for my life coach, Pauline, she's great.
Well done, because the best love songs are about breakups, aren't they? And regret and all that area. Two fans want to talk to you already. Let's put Amanda Bourne and Niamh Lawler. Amanda, good afternoon. Niamh, good afternoon. Both of you start asking Ryan and Jimmy the questions I'm afraid to ask. Go ahead, Amanda.
That you're afraid to ask?
Yes, go on. Ask them anything.
Ryan, what would be your favourite song that you've written today?
That's a great question. It's a tough question, actually. I think for the time right now, things are different, because it was our first time being able to actually almost do a bit of social commentary, rather, because all of my songs are about, like Joe just mentioned, breakups and heartache and love songs and all that. So it was nice for a change to do Things Are Different, but I think Take My Hand will always be the special one for me.
How do you feel playing Lollapalooza in Chicago? Me and Niamh, we were there, I think it was 2 years ago. We were at Lollapalooza in Chicago watching the series, and it was just, it was incredible. We were dropping it like a top.
Yeah, that was incredible. That was such a great show, as you guys know from being there. The setting on the cityscape of Chicago in the background was amazing. And the crowd, there's a great video online somewhere of us finishing the set, and I throw my guitar across the stage, and all the crowd are singing "Ole, ole, ole."
That was
incredible. That was you.
Yeah, I was the fill with the flag around me.
Oh, well done. And Niamh Lauder, what do you want to ask Jimmy and Ryan?
So like, I've been to so many gigs. Like, the first time I saw you, you were playing a secret gig in Doyle's, and just to see you go from that to now Crow Park. Over the last few years, like, what was your favourite like venue to play?
Like you said there, we've had a great number of shows, from small ones like those secret gigs to the big ones. I think for me, definitely the Five Nights in the Tree Arena was just, it was just an amazing, it was the best week of my life. I think, Jimmy, you'd probably agree.
Yeah, definitely, I would agree. Like, being able to play in your home, well, not hometown, but, you know, in a venue that you would have, that we would have grown up going to see bands in, to be able to play five nights in a row was very special for us.
Sarah, I'll come back to Niamh and Amanda in a sec, because they've even more searching questions lined up. Sarah Bass, you're listening to the two of the four lads out of Picture This on the they've recorded, done it, the Late Show with James Corden. You can watch it this side of the Atlantic tonight. Sarah Bass, you heard the new single.
I did.
And you've already picked it for your.
Well, actually, it wasn't the new single. It was the first one you played, Take My Hand.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Now, the first time we heard that, I'd only been with my partner, and it just became our song. So it's really nice to hear that now, and as soon as I put on my earphones going out for my walk, it always puts me in good form.
And it is going to be, it's going to be your first song at your wedding.
Yeah, we got engaged right before Christmas, and hopefully we'll be getting married in 2022, but straight away we decided, you know, that's our song, that's going to be our first song.
I was going to say to you, have you picked a date for your wedding? At this stage, we only ask people, have you picked a year for your wedding?
We have a date, all right. It's hopefully going to be the 11th of October in 2022 in Italy, but to this rate, I don't know. We'll see.
And tell me about your connection with the legendary manager of Picture This. He's placed his heart and soul and life into a Brian Whitehead, who a lot of people know from his days in the Olympia. You say, and Brian, tell me about Brian and the Sessions from Oblivion.
Sessions from Oblivion. So I don't know Brian myself. This is through my dad. My dad set up this project at the beginning of lockdown.
Yeah.
And Dad is a music agent, and he'd just do anything for anyone, and especially when it comes to music.
Okay.
He'd do anything to support, especially Irish musicians at the moment. So he set up this project, and he'd be able to tell you more about it in detail. But basically, it's just to help promote Irish musicians, singer-songwriters. Yeah. And Brian Whitehead was one of the main men who he had on, giving a bit of advice to musicians.
How important is your manager, Jimmy? How important has Brian been to holding, keeping you together and pushing you on and keeping you in check, Jimmy?
Yeah, Brian's been great. Like, I've known Brian a long time, and then obviously Brian is like a father figure to the band, you know. Mm.
You can say what you really mean, grandfather figure, that's what you mean.
he's
a young man.
He's great. Brian is, holds us all together. He's the glue, you know. Yeah. And be lost without Brian, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to take a break, but I want to go back to 2:15, because one of the great pieces of electricity in any band is how two or three or four women or lads or a mixture came together, and how they met and how they realised they had a spark, be it in songwriting or performing or whatever. We're talking to Picture This, as I say, on this eve of St. Patrick's Day. They're on the cusp of a great breakthrough in the States after what's been, for most musicians, a very difficult year in terms of income, as we keep being reminded, rightly so. 51551, watch out.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia e-Niro.
Kia, movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Tom Kenny is listening in Miami in Florida. Tom, well, good morning in Florida. But Tom, you worked in the music business, as you say, The Who, David Bowie. What's it been like in the last year, Tom?
Well, Joe, I've always fallen on my feet. And just when it all happened, I was supposed to go to England and Ireland with The Who. And that was one of the first things to cancel. And they're older, those guys, so they were more aware, more worried about their fans and themselves. So, and then within the few days after that, I had a big show in L.A., a big show in New York. It just all started crumbling. So obviously I was worried, but within a week I got a call to do a big, because I do these massive events. And I got a call to go up to Canada to do the hockey season up there. And so I've sort of been very fortunate, not as busy as usual, but I also work in big TV shows, big award shows. So last week I was in Los Angeles. I worked with Justin Bieber and a couple of people. So they are trying here, but there's also a lot of people who've died, you know.
Yeah.
So, but and all the events I do, Joe, are in a bubble. They're in a COVID bubble. Everybody gets tested. It's every morning, and it's very safe. It's very all masks, no audience. But that's how it's been. So I've been lucky, but I haven't been able to go home and see people. So that's the only drawback.
Yeah. I presume, Tom, no one is touring in the States at this stage, are they?
Nobody's touring. Nobody's doing anything. They tried some of those outdoor cinema drive-ups, but it was only for like 100, 200 people, and it's just you can't do it. You can't afford it.
That's my point. Has anyone been able to, in the pandemic, any bands and creative people depend on an audience, a paying audience? Has anyone been, apart from the Taylor Swift or the albums and that, and Kings of Leon, but has anyone been able to monetize it at all in terms of performance? You know, this whole thing where you log on to a channel or whatever.
There's a couple of places in Nashville and LA, and they did, you know, streaming, but it's to, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 people. You're not, you know, like, I'm used to playing, well, when I work for The Who, I'm used to 20,000, 10,000 in the point. You know, it's 20,000, 30,000. That's those size bands, smaller bands, theaters. You know, I know a lot of theaters are on their knees, obviously, as we all know, with the Olympia and the Gaiety and everybody, because they depend on gigs. But nobody has really, you know, been able to monetize.
I know that great Irish band, the Coronas, Danny and the lads, they did a performance in the Olympia, and they were, well, everyone, we were all trying to get people on board, and they have a great following. But I just wonder, in an awful year, how can you monetize that? How can you keep going? Tom, what are you doing at the minute?
At the moment, I'm in a car in a little queue in a big park waiting to get a vaccine.
Wow.
So I went to one earlier today. Because I'm lucky, I work, Joe, so I've got to go up to Nashville in a couple of weeks' time, so I can't wait for the second dose. So I'm driving around trying to find a Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So I've found one here, I think, in a big park in the middle of Hollywood.
And what is it?
That's where I'm listening to.
What's a drive-through?
Yeah, well, basically, there's about 200 or 300 cars in front of me, and you drive through, you get to a car park, you get out, you get your vaccine, you get back in your car.
Wow!
And that's how they're doing it here. I'm involved with a big show in Los Angeles in May, and I went to see the new stadium in LA on Sunday, and they've got parking and driving for 10,000 people.
Wow!
So it's massive, as everything is over here.
And you know, picture this, I hope. I know you're living stateside, but...
I'd left Dublin, but I'd heard so many things, and I just, when I heard that song, I thought, what a beautiful song, and I felt very like the script, so that's why I wrote, you know, it just sort of inspired me to, and listening to them, because I've been talking to lots of musicians, even Justin Bieber the other day, who's big, huge album. But he was saying how anxious he was because he had put this big album together, and obviously he's an anxious kid. But it doesn't matter who you are as a musician, if you're not able to create and get it out there, it's very hard, you know. So I listened to the drummer there, and I feel for them because everybody everybody's in it, you know.
What advice would you give? Well, you see, as I say, there are so many bands. Now, touch wood, this is going to happen for them. And they were, picture this, were so big. The Coronas are so big. Code of Lion, Gavin James, Dermot, Saint Sisters, Wyvern Lingo, Pillow Queens. That's just...
Lisa Lamb. There's so many people. Lisa, there's so many great musicians and the girls in harmony. I listen to you all the time, and my daughter Aisling's there, and I send music to all the people I work with, Irish music, and it's amazing in the last few, from Other Voices to
great stuff,
you know. And you're never afraid of Tool and McKay. Saw Doctor Sting was just unbelievable. Like, if anything, Irish people are, as always, we need a bit of melancholy to create stuff, and they're definitely doing it now. It's amazing, the stuff. So I think once it starts, and Caroline and Dennis and all them and MCD, I think, and Peter Aiken, I think, are just waiting to start safely, and then it'll be just music, I hope, you know.
So what would you say to the lads? Well, you're young as well, I'm sure.
I would say just keep on writing and keep your head down, and if you get down, just listen to a good song.
Yeah.
You know, look what Taylor Swift did. She went up into a cabin. She's a different animal, Taylor. She's just very motivated, and she's got the fandom. But she went to a cabin, made this beautiful album with a couple of unusual songwriters and herself. And that's what these guys are doing. That picture, this song, is beautiful. It could be with anyone in the charts anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And it's the same with anything Glenn Hansard does. Like, very, very fortunate, you know, compared to other countries. But other countries have the same thing. Mexico, I work a lot with Latin bands, and they've got amazing creativity. So it's a weird time that nobody's gone through, but I think at the other end it'll be fabulous, you know.
Yeah, hopefully. And music does help people. Music does help people again and again and again. And especially if you're feeling anyway down, and if you can latch onto a song that talks to you, you're halfway there. You're halfway there.
Yeah, it's therapy. It's therapy for the heart, because a lot of us that don't go to church, a gig is their church. You know what I mean? And an album is their Bible or whatever, and it just helps people. And you just listen. I listen to Fear now every time I can from wherever I am at night, late night.
Yeah,
it's just amazing. It's like a gig, Joe. You know what I mean? It really is. Like, it's radio is always powerful anyway in my life. But really, when you're away and you can't go to gig, turn on the radio, listen to people. You know, you just need to. If you're down at all, it's the only way to get out of it.
Listen to other people choosing the music for a change, and you'll find someone that you've never heard of before, maybe, and suddenly you're down a rabbit hole. I had that experience 2 weeks ago, much to my children's laughter, and in here as well.
Yeah.
I was listening to Desert Island Discs, Tom and Ryan and Jimmy, and somebody picked a song from a band I'd never heard of called Savage Garden. Do you remember them from the 1990s?
Beautiful song, yeah. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, the two boys were that spark between the two. I'd never heard of Savage Garden, and I'm now obsessed with them. They're long gone. They're long broken up. Darren Hayes is now a solo performer.
Beautiful song.
But they often speak, and this is where I want to come back to Ryan and Jimmy just for a sec. That spark, that, as I say, Savage Garden, talk about that. They were in two different areas of Brisbane, I think. Is it Brisbane they're from? Yeah. Jimmy and Ryan, how did the two of you meet?
We're from Athyte, which is a very small town.
Okay.
So everybody just kind of knows each other by proxy, but we were never in the same friend circle. Yeah. Jimmy was a couple years ahead of me in school, and I had always known of Jimmy as this amazing drummer. It was kind of his reputation.
Yeah.
And then I knew he was gone into producing and stuff, and he had a student. And then I posted our song, Take My Hand, on Facebook at the time, which I had just written myself in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And Jimmy reached out to me and wanted to produce the song, basically forced me to come out to the studio, drove in, picked me up at my house, came out, and we produced up the song. And there was an amazing, the spark you're talking about was there from the word go, which is kind of, because me and Jimmy were very different people. And there's a couple of years in the difference age-wise. So we just come from completely different backgrounds and friend groups, but there's just a spark between us that I've never had with anybody else.
Tell us about that moment, Jimmy, because you were into performing with other bands. You're into musical production as well. You had your own studio in your house, isn't that correct, or near your house or whatever. Tell us how you came across Ryan and the spark.
I had been in the music industry, I guess you could call it, for quite a while, you know, and I thought I had kind of rinsed it for all it was worth. I had done so many tours around the world and done lots of different things, but it wasn't until I saw that video Ryan put on Facebook, I don't know what it was, but I needed to be a part of it. And I had to, but my first thought was, okay, I need to get Ryan to produce this song and him to sing it and him to release it. Mm-hmm. But Ryan wanted to start a band. And okay. I'm not mad to be in the limelight or spotlight or anything like that. I like being in the background because I've always been like that. But Ryan said, no, we do this together. And obviously we weren't thinking much about it. We just wanted to release a song and whatever. But really, I had great confidence and I believed in it from the start. I thought it was going to go far. And I just wanted to be a part of it because for no other reason then I just felt like it was something fun to do. At the time, I wasn't doing anything, you know, and I kind of stopped working at the time. And I don't know, things kind of just aligned the right way. And
great, great. We
formed this really strong partnership, yeah.
Okay, we're talking to two of the lads out of picture of this. But one of the things that's coming across to me, lads, is trying to remind musicians who've had a very, very difficult year and creatives, how important you can be in people's lives without you knowing. Peter is on 1857 15815. Peter is in Dublin. Peter, your family and the importance of music and indeed a song from Picture Disc. Go ahead, Peter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Excellent. Yeah, this is first of all, I want to commend the lads for continuing going the way they are. It's very difficult for Peter. It's easy for a lot of us out there that are getting the COVID payments and stuff like that to continue to try and survive, but some of these artists really don't have any fund or financing at all, and it's difficult for them to stay positive and continue on with what they do. But I think it's been so easy. We've had one of our kids has struggled really badly with the lockdown and a lot of other stuff in the meantime, but she absolutely idolises Picture Disc and has been listening to their stuff for so long. She picked up the guitar last July, and it really has helped her stay balanced and grounded. She's in her own little world and a room with this, and she recorded a song at Christmas for people struggling with mental health and loneliness.
Wow.
And it was a Picture Disc song, actually, and we actually done something and worked with PA to House for Christmas rather than we donated a substantial amount of money from the company perspective. But I played the song here for the guys in PA to House the day we were over. The bloody room, there wasn't a dry eye in the room, Joe, to be honest.
And you remember, what was the song, Peter?
Joe, I'm a Lionel Richie man. I couldn't tell you what the song was.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
The lad would know it. It's in relation to Christmas and being alone at Christmas.
Okay.
But she, to look at her playing this song on the guitar, it's like she's been doing it all her life. So I put it online and I put it on Instagram and Twitter and tried to tag the lads, but I didn't know whether they would have got a chance to see it because obviously the media companies obviously ruined the pages for them. But it was a beautiful rendition of the song and it touched a lot of people. It touched a lot of people inside, and it's so easy nowadays for people to brush off the children's mental health and to think that they'll be fine, or they're resilient, I think they'll be grand.
Yeah.
When in fact, we really need to be watching them and keeping an eye on them as parents and as mentors, because they are all having their own individual struggles. They might look fine from the outside, but they really need to be watched. And music, without doubt, helps.
And it's a good time to say it to your offspring. It's a year into the pandemic, and it's a time, even over the next few days, people might have a bit of time off, to be able to say to your family, your friends, listen, it's been a year. How overall do you think you've managed? Zoom back for a minute and tell us honestly how you think you've managed, because it has been difficult. The lads did a great version of This Christmas, and there was an orchestral version. I don't know how appropriate it is in the middle of March, Peter. But
I think that is the song, isn't it?
Okay, it is, yeah.
I think that's what she's doing, yeah. As I said, the one thing she wanted me to do for her was to try and get her tickets to see the lads, and obviously the way we are.
Wait and see.
I will have to. No doubt, have to. But if the lads would be as kind as to even give Casey a shout out and say, yeah, you know what, well done, and keep your head moving on, and keep going, and keep pushing on, and stay positive. It might help her, you know.
Okay. And is Casey? Is she on YouTube?
Probably
Instagram.
I told her to set up a bloody channel for herself. Okay.
Now we'll get the details off you, and we'll pass it on to Brian Whitehead, the boys' manager, and he will get it to the forward them.
Okay,
Peter, stay safe, and lots of love to Casey and her age group, especially at this time. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Back after this, Joe at RTE.ie.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia Niro plug-in hybrid.
Kia, movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Ryan Hennessy is with us. Jimmy Rainsford, both of them from Picture This. We're celebrating, whether they like it or not, we're celebrating their appearance tonight on The Late Show in the States. And James Corden, you all know it. It's a massive break, and they've recorded their new single, recorded a magnificent performance in Croke Park. It's really well put together. Unfortunately, there's, as with everything in Croke Park this year, there's no crowd. Laura Grills, Laura's in Dundalk. How are you, Laura?
I'm good, thanks, Joe. Thanks a million.
Do you want to tell the boys how much you love their music?
Where do I start? I absolutely adore Picture This. I mean, their music is just incredible. Lucky enough to have seen them twice playing live in the Three Arena and then again in the RDS. And I mean, they're just incredible. Their music is life-changing. I mean, if I'm having a bad day, I stick in my AirPods, I put it on, and I go, and that's it. They're just incredible. I absolutely adore them. Adore them. My favourite band ever. And that's saying something, because I adore music, but they are just incredible.
And you remember, you do, obviously, you mentioned, it's 2 years ago now, Laura, the Three Arena, the Pint Depot.
Incredible.
The five nights. Can you describe the atmosphere?
Oh, it just made you proud to be Irish. Everyone singing along on their feet. And I was actually heavily pregnant at the time, and I just enjoyed every second of it. It was incredible. Incredible. The atmosphere was mind-blowing. The music, you could just feel it. It's just indescribable.
And how would you describe Ryan Hennessy? As you know, he's crippled by shyness. How would you describe his performance on the stage?
Unbelievable.
Wasn't it incredible?
Complete goosebumps. Incredible. Yeah, absolutely. They're fantastic to listen to their music that they've recorded in the studio, but to stand there and watch them singing live it's something else.
And what a stage show. A show.
Incredible.
What a show. Ryan, I can see you there. You're scarlet. You're very, very shy, Ryan. Do you realise, Ryan, at times, and Jimmy, the importance of your music, especially when people are going through difficult times, Ryan?
It's a weird thing, I guess, for us, because we're obviously the creators of the music, but it's literally the sole reason that we started making music was to affect people. That's what everybody seems to forget sometimes. I think that this whole business, or whatever you want to call it, it's all about people at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And if we can affect people positively and take some weight off of people's shoulders through doing what we love, then it's really the greatest honor in the world for us, for what we do. So I'm so glad that people take our music in that way. It's really an incredible feeling and an honor.
And I want every musician to be reminded of that as well. Laura, you mentioned you were pregnant in March 19.
Yes, I have a little girl. I have two kids, but I was pregnant with my second, a little girl. So she was born in the June then. Incredible.
So if there was due to be gigs in June. But
yes. Yeah, we've been waiting for them since last year. So hopefully maybe this year, I don't know. Depends. But I mean, I can't wait until I can I can just imagine just being there again, except this time with a cold pint in hand, singing along.
Yeah. What are the two your children's names?
Alex and Chloe.
Alex and Chloe. A and C.
Yes.
Okay. What song from Picture This do you want?
Everything or Nothing is amazing. My favourite. I love it.
Tell us about it.
When I want to listen to something, if I'm having a bad day, that's the song that I put on, and I just have a wee bopper in the house listening to it, put with the headphones in, full blast, and that's my song. I just love it. Love it. And did I really fucking love you?
Laura, I think if the first open air gig, the first big gig, that Picture This, or any of the great bands we have in Ireland play, we're all going to go mad.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're all going to go mad.
Mental. Yeah.
Mental, from early morning till the following morning.
Yes.
It's going to be just, you get the buzz of an outdoor gig or a big gig or whatever. It's just...
Yeah,
just incredible.
Wait.
Okay. Hopefully now your two beautiful children, your youngest, won't be much older than two by the time we all get back to festivals, Laura. Would you want to say hello directly to Ryan and Jimmy?
I'd absolutely love to speak
first to Ryan and then you can speak privately and on the air to Jimmy. Go ahead. What do you want to say to Ryan, the lead singer?
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I'm a massive fan. I absolutely love you guys. Incredible.
Thank you very much. You said some lovely, lovely things about us. So thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Keep doing what you're doing. Absolutely.
What do you want to say to Jimmy?
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah. Good. Well, yeah, like Ryan said, thanks so much for all the kind words. You know, it means a lot to us because I get the same feeling you get with other bands too, where I absolutely love certain bands. So I think everyone knows that feeling, but to be on the other end of it is amazing and very humbling. So thank you very, very much.
Okay, more thanks, Laura. We'll see you in Malahide Castle or St. Anne's Park or the Electric Picnic or wherever we're all going to meet again.
Hopefully soon.
You mind yourself and your two beautiful children, Laura.
Thanks a million.
At this important time. Back after this break.
Bye-bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Do yourself a favour if you have some spare time over the next few days and the time of year that's in it. Get back listening to Irish acts, be it new acts, older acts, be it the wonderful Paul Brady, Christie, that whole wonderful vintage, all still going strong, to the relatively new bands that are out there, and a lot of them had a very difficult year. Denise Shelley has just been mentioned. You know, that Saw Doctors N17, incredible, incredible version, and the Saw Doctors, and going back to. But do it this over this next few days. Treat yourself to some really good Irish music. And just a reminder, Margaret Brannock is on the line. We're talking to Picture This. As I say, they're on American TV tonight, playing from Croke Park in Dublin, performing their new single. But it's only, 4 years ago. Margaret Brannock, tell us what happened with Picture This.
My son-in-law and... son-in-law and my daughter's daughter have picked Picture This. Mm-hmm. And they said that they picked Take My Hand as the first dance.
Yeah, okay.
So Peter asked them, my known to Sinead, they played I think with Transmitter as well, or practiced with Transmitter. And he asked them to know would they come and play a song, their first song. And even though they were actually up to their eyes, making it big at the time, they came along and they played. Absolutely.
Well done.
They packed the floor.
Your wedding band was Picture This?
Their wedding first dance was Picture This.
Isn't that fantastic?
Played by them.
Well
played
done.
She nearly had a stroke on the floor when she seen him coming out. to play. So they were absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
And they followed them all along in Cavanagh's pub in Portiche. They used to follow them playing there.
Okay, well done. And that was at Sinead's wedding. And picture this, to surprise her, turned up and performed with the wedding band, I presume, or the band that
was transmitted.
Okay, sounds brilliant. Margaret, difficult line, unfortunately. Thanks indeed, Margaret. Jane McKenna, founder of Laurel Lynn, that wonderful, wonderful organisation. Jane, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Celebrating all things good and Irish today. What do you want to say to the lads?
Well, I just wanted to say to listen to the show, obviously, and I was messaging in, not expecting to be on, but anyway, it's nice to be on. Just huge thanks to them, heartfelt thanks from everybody at Laurel Lynn, myself, Brendan, and everybody absolutely at Laurel Lynn, families included. They were wonderful. They did a slot on the Late Late Show for us, which raised wonderful funds, vital funds, as with every charity. And they also did a sort of an online Zoom thing that was done for the families and for various people. And they took 20 minutes. I think it was at least 20 minutes. And, you know, they spoke, they laughed, they sang several songs. I mean, they've just been a wonderful support. So I just wanted to send my heartfelt thanks and congratulate them on how well they're doing and wish them absolutely huge success going forward.
And well said. That's Jane McKenna of Laurel Lynn. By the way, I've just tweeted during the break there, Tolo McKay's version of N17 with the RTE Concert Orchestra. Treat yourself to that over the next few days. I'll put it up on Twitter there, Joe Liveline. It's fantastic. Marie Keenan. Marie, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yeah, turn off the speakerphone on, turn it off. I'm dogged by bad phone lines. You're a fan of Picture This.
I am, Joe. I am indeed. I always like listening to them on radio or when they appear on the Late Late Show.
And you say you're always talking about them.
Yes.
What to anyone who listens to you?
Yeah, especially to my grandson. He's big into all sorts of music, so he any time I'd have a chat with him, I'd say, "Oh, did you hear Picture This?"
And what does he say, Granny? What does he say? What does he say to his granny when he hears you talking about Picture This?
Oh no, he's
brilliant. Brilliant.
He's well used to me.
Brilliant, brilliant. Give me a song. Give me your favourite song.
Never Change.
Yeah, if I Picture This. Do you remember Ryan and Jimmy? Do you remember writing this one and performing it?
Yeah, I do indeed, very vividly. I'm shooting the music video in a thunderstorm in Nashville.
Shooting the music in a thunderstorm in Ashford says it all. You deserve the whole world. Picture This. I'm going to take a break because in the break I'm going to tweet on Joe at Joe Liveline loads of music which people have suggested from the fantastic Irish bands at the moment. Back after this.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I've tweeted Fontaines DC, you all know, Pillow Queens, Tolo McKay, Denise Shyla, Danny and the Coronas, and a few other bands as well. I'll do more later on. Irish music to listen to over the next few days. Alwyn, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Years ago, what happened?
Oh, no, it's years and years ago. I was working in an office on Hatch Street and there was a knock on the door.
In Dublin, yeah?
In Dublin, yes, Lower Hatch Street.
Okay.
And there was a knock on the door and this guy, who I was sure I recognised from somewhere, but anyway, he was looking for water for the radiator for his Mercedes, his old Mercedes. And anyway, I said to him, do I know you from somewhere?
Okay.
Because I'm always trying to make these connections. And he said, oh, well, you know, I sort of sing in a band or something. And I said, oh, all right. And then he said, Picture This. And I said, jeepers, I'm only after seeing you recently. I said, you were great, but he was very self-deprecating and quite shy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very nice. So anyway, I gave him a jug of water for the Mercedes and off he went.
Okay.
That's right. My claim to fame now with the Picture This.
I don't know. I'm afraid to ask what year the Mercedes was, Ryan. If he's looking for water for us, looking for what? Declan Cox. Thanks, Alwyn. Declan Cox.
Hello.
Your 15-year-old son.
Hello, Joe. Yeah, Declan Cox from Waterford. I have a 15-year-old son, Joe, and he was inspired to become a singer-songwriter by Picture This. I suppose our family have been always into music and great supporters of the live music scene in Ireland. Myself and my wife, we met 30 years ago and we used to finish work at 10:30 at night and we could drive to Dublin just to see a gig and then drive home and go back to work the following morning, absolutely exhausted. But I have a 15-year-old son here and he's been playing guitar since he was 7, but we took him to see Picture This a couple of years ago in the Three Arena and he just thought it was the most amazing show he'd ever seen and he just said, "Dad, I need to start writing my own stuff." He said, "This is what I want to do."
Well done, well done. I hope he is doing it.
He's been ill for the last couple of years, but he did a cover version of one of the lad's songs this Christmas, just before Christmas, and they saw it actually, and Owen Cardiff liked it, and they went in, they had a look at his profile, which he was absolutely ecstatic about. He couldn't believe that the lad would actually go and look at his stuff. It's his birthday. It's his birthday on the 11th next month, and I just wanted to ring in. I actually stayed out of work. I'm not going to go in until later just to see if I could get him to say a quick hello to the lads just for his birthday.
Okay, quick hello, and the lads then are going to introduce the song to play us out on this eve of St. Patrick's Day. Today's producer was Annette Egan, and Ray Darcy will be next. But Aaron, you can talk to the two boys. Go ahead, Aaron. You can talk to Ryan and Jimmy, and then Jimmy's going to introduce the last song from Picture This. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hi, lads. How are you?
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
Good, thanks. I just want to say thanks so much for like inspiring me to be a young songwriter. Like, I really do appreciate it, and like the help you don't even know that you've given me. It really did bring me up to get to where I am now. So
well said. Ryan and Jimmy, thanks. Which song are you going to play us out with, Jimmy?
Yeah, this is our song "When We Were Young" from a couple of years ago. Hope you enjoy it.
Okay, Break a Leg tonight on US television. Picture This.
Oh, we burned bridges in our hearts and we learned how to grow apart and it hurt.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Sorento plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815. Stays open until 3:15 p.m. Or email joe@rte.ie.